So today I'm going to talk about expert integration and just how you can actually tie in an expert you've written with our API and get an actual menu item in Network Monitor to display and actually get some information from Network Monitor about what the user is looking at in order to make your expert a little bit more context sensitive. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about our expert platform and kind of talk a little bit more about what Network Monitor actually provides you in terms of information, and talk more about our SDK for experts, which is available on CodePlex, which is what a lot of this information is covered within. And then I can open up the floor to some questions. So this is just going to be pretty quick because we have the SDK, which explains a lot of this information. But let's talk more about the experts as a platform. So as we've been talking about, experts are these analysis tools that are created on top of our API that extend the functionality of Network Monitor. So as we saw Brian present with the TCP analyzer, there's a lot of interesting in-depth analysis you can provide to users, which isn't something that's normally displayed in the Network Monitor UI. And so Network Monitor launches these experts from a menu available in the product on saved capture files. So once the user has done a live capture session or they're getting a trace from a user, they can open up that file within Network Monitor and see the experts menu available. And initially, the only link is to download experts, which will take you to a portal where you can find experts that are available that have been written by other people. Some of them may have source as an example on how you can write your own experts, but there's this ecosystem there that Network Monitor users have access to. And so in technical terms, this menu is simply populated by values in the registry. So once you've created your expert, with the SDK, we provide a MSI builder which will actually construct a nice installation package which you can provide users, and you can tell it which registry keys to write, and it will actually register itself when they install the expert to the Network Monitor expert menu. And so one important thing to note too is experts run in their own process space. They're independent of Network Monitor. And this was a security consideration we wanted to address, because back in Network Monitor 2, they were DLLs that loaded into the product, and there's a lot of security concerns there with how that actually worked. And so how your expert actually gets information from Network Monitor is actually passed on the command line. So let me talk a little bit more about what you can actually get on the command line from Network Monitor. So there's a registry key that, when you set up your installation parameters through our script that you provide, or you could, kind of build your own, as Darren said. But basically, you can provide the exact explicit command line that Network Monitor should use to call your expert. And on that command line, we have four special values which you can specify, which Network Monitor will automatically do a string replace on with that information in that command line. So the four here are the open capture file, the selected frame range, and the conversation and display filters. And so let me dive in here and explain each one of these in a little bit more detail. So the open capture file is simply the full path to the capture file on which the expert was launched by the user on. So for instance, in this screenshot, you can see the user has this test.capture file open that's in their C users my account directory. And so when the user clicks on the experts menu there, launches the expert, if the expert has requested this parameter, which should be pretty much any expert, it's going to pass in this full path to that file so that the expert can just pass it into our open capture file API call and actually start reading the frames and the data that the user is actually looking at. On top of that, we have the display filter. So if the user has any display filter applied within the product, so if, for instance, if they're only interested in TCP or UDP data, then this filter can be requested by the expert to be passed along as well. So that way you can actually start using these filters within your expert to actually only process the same data that the user is looking at within the network monitor product. And just also to note that any comments, if you're familiar with our filtering system, we can have multiple lines and you can add comments and other things in there. All that data is going to be passed in that parameter. And so if you're trying to do any custom parsing of that filter, you might just, you know, it's something you need to be aware of, but you should just be able to pass that directly into our parsing engine with the NMAD filter, for instance, that Sean and Darren talked about before, in order to just use that. And there's also another setting that if you have quotation marks, so those are always kind of a special case, especially on the command line and in programming, because, you know, you've got strings, but you're always specifying in quotation marks, and so what happens if you want to specify them? So by default, we actually quote escape the quotes so that when you read it in as a parameter in your C++ or C# program or whatever, that it actually gets interpreted correctly by your program. Though if you're using a kind of a batch command line processor kind of script instead, then these quotes might be different and you might want to turn this escaping off. But that's probably more the rarer of circumstances. On the flip side, we have something called a conversation filter. And that it's not really well known what a conversation filter is, because it's kind of something that's just explicitly done in the product. But it's exposed in the UI, and it's actually whatever you're clicking on in the conversation tree. And so whenever you click on the tree, then it filters down the data you're looking at, and then it applies the display filter to get you that very narrowed scope. And it's one of the benefits of using Network Monitor that you can kind of drill down very easily based on, you know, the IP conversation or the TCP port or, you know, whatever detailed information you have. So implicitly, internally in Network Monitor, it constructs a filter and uses that to filter the tree. And so that's all we're going to be passing here, is this conversation filter. And if you want to see what types of values that are, you can actually copy them by right-clicking in the conversation tree. And so if you want to actually just reconstruct the view that the user is looking at on this trace when they launch your expert, you can actually apply the conversation filter using the NMAD filter and then, you know, evaluating it on your parsed frame in the API. And then after you've evaluated that conversation filter, you can evaluate the display filter, and then you'll actually be able to filter out exactly which frames the user is looking at in the user interface. And then you could actually use that as context to do some more in-depth analysis if they've selected, like, the TCP conversation, as Brian's expert requires. So there's some advanced logic you can do, and it really provides a lot of power to experts as a utility. And to even further that, you have the selected frame range. So these are the individual frames that the user has selected. And this can be a single value. So if they've right-clicked on a single frame and it selects it and they launch the expert, it can be that one. Or it could be, for instance, maybe you want to compare two different frames. So you'd have the user select two frames and then launch your expert. Or, you know, they're interested in a wide range. And how you use this data is going to be up to your expert and the kind of analysis and data that you actually want to provide from what the user is interested in. So this value that you'll actually receive in your program is numerically increasing. It's a pretty simple structure. Groups are separated with commas, and a range is indicated by a dash. So, for instance, you'll have frames 1 through 5, and then you'll have frame 7, and then frames 9 through 200. So you can kind of see that mimicked in the image here as to what the user has actually selected. So you're never going to see something where you have like a 6 that's coming after your range of 11. It's always going to be an increasing order, and a comma is always going to separate some gap in the frames. And the expert SDK code will actually kind of just pass you an enumerator that will actually just interpret this data for you and pass back what next frame number you should be looking at or interested in. So it's pretty straightforward. And so as I've been talking a lot about, we have this expert SDK up on CodePlex. And right now it's for C#. Hopefully we'll provide a C/C++ equivalent in the future. But it basically provides a complete example of making use of these four different values I've talked about from Network Monitor and how you can actually apply them to actually filter down to the frames that the user is looking at, and you know, display the field information, and you know, say if the user has the frame selected or not, and to really dive down into that data in more detail. So you could use this as an example to build your expert on top of, or just at least get a better understanding of the facilities that are available to you from Network Monitor. In addition, it provides our MSI packaging tool. So this requires that you have Perl and the Wix toolkit installed. There's instructions in the SDK itself about how you can install this and get it set up. But it kind of does all the heavy lifting for you if you've installed those dependencies from the Visual Studio project. If you compile a release build, it will automatically try and compile the MSI for you. But you can also run the MSI tool standalone. So if you have a tool developed already, you can read the documentation for the MSI creator and just kind of, you know, copy your executable and your help file to a separate directory, run the MSI builder on it, and get an MSI out, which you can then distribute to your users. And you can run it, you know, easily, kind of switch it for the x86 or x64 platforms to provide those two different builds for your users. And another thing, I put it up on the SharePoint for our Experts Day for now, but hopefully we'll be getting that out on CodePlex soon as well, but that's the C++ chum examples. So these are all the examples that are in our help file included with the product, but these are going to be the actual Visual Studio projects and kind of the complete compilable code. So you can actually just kind of download that, look at the code without seeing it in all the pieces that you do within our help file. And so as I mentioned, our MSI creation tool requires Perl and Wix in order to create the MSI. They're readily available on the internet, pretty easy to download and set up. And you can create a settings file that specifies your registration parameters for your specific expert, and there's examples, again, provided in the SDK. You'll also want to make sure you provide a help file so that users know how to use your expert, so in the UI they can go and say, how do I use this expert? It'll pop up the simple RTF, and users will know, oh, I have to click on two different frames and have those selected in order to run the expert for it to give me useful data back. And you can also, there's an add remove programs icon, so if you change the expert.ico file, you can actually have a little nifty design for your expert when they see it in the add remove programs list in Windows. So the SDK project, as some has pointed out, doesn't seem to have all the parameters that the MSI tool says it requires, and that's because we basically built in some to automatically get filled in for you. So for instance, where your binaries are, we know where that is because you compiled it in Visual Studio, so we're nice enough to just pass it along for you so you don't have to explicitly mention that to the tool. So that there's some differences there. So you want to be careful if you're just trying to copy the settings file from the Expert SDK project instead of looking at all the parameters needed for the MSI tool by itself. And if you, as one of the kind of good citizen things we mentioned in the very beginning is that, you know, you want to make sure that you uninstall everything that you've set up. So if you want to save specific settings to your expert to the registry, our MSI tool actually takes that into account. So if you save to this registry key listed here, current user slash software slash Microsoft Netmon 3 experts, and then whatever upgrade code you've specified, we'll clean that up when they uninstall the expert for you. So you can save any registry settings you want there. So, you know, what the user interface configuration they've displayed, or, you know, if they want to apply display filters, kind of whatever settings you can think of, you can save there, and then when they exit, we'll automatically clean that up for you. So it's just a little extra we've provided. And the upgrade code is actually a GUID, which you specify when you build your expert, which is unique to your expert, but you want to maintain consistent throughout versions. And so that just helps the MSI process to kind of say, oh, you've installed this expert, let's upgrade the new version, or and just handle all those dependencies. So that's what you would specify here for this registry key. So this is a sample MSI settings.txt. So this is a complete example, unlike the SDK one, because the SDK, as I said, provides some values automatically. So for instance, you have the target file where you want it to output the MSI. You have your expert name, so this is just what you want to call it. So for this instance, it was the top users expert that this example is coming from. You have, you know, whoever, the company that wrote the expert, so in most of our cases, it's Microsoft. You have your expert version, so this is something you're going to want to increment as you release updates to your expert and package them in MSIs. You can also specify a target network monitor version. So if you know that, you know, we just released an update that has a bug fix for your expert that needs in order to run, you can actually specify that as a minimum version so that the you can ensure that the user has that installed. Question? Yeah, so the question is it's the minimum version. So yes, it is the minimum version. So you can't specify that they have to have a specific version or they can't have one later than that one, but you can specify the minimum version that they may need. And then you also specify the platform. So in this case, we're building the x86 MSI. Other values are AMD 64 for 64-bit platforms, including the Intel one, kind of a legacy notation we've carried forward. And then there's also the, I think it's the Itanium IA64. So that's kind of a very small market, so there's probably not going to be too many experts written for that platform. But in case you can compile on that platform and you want to provide it for our users, then I'm sure they'd be happy. And this is one of the fields that the Visual Studio project will automatically fill in for you, but it's actually where for the tool needs to pick up your binaries. So this is where you would, you know, be outputting your Visual Studio project or just where you've copied your executable and the help file and just where the MSI tool should pick up all those files. And it's going to pick up any subfolders, anything that's in that directory. So you want to make sure that you don't specify the MSI tool installation directory as that directory, because then you'll include all the MSI tools in your actual expert, and that wouldnldn't be a good thing. Yes, question. So the question is, does the Visual Studio project that automates some of the steps include some of the special files like the PDB and like the VS host files and those sorts of things? And I've actually made it so that it will exclude those for you automatically. If you look in the more detailed codes about how that works, there's an exclude.txt, and it lists those three types of files. So if there's extra things that you find you'd want to exclude, you could actually just add that star dot whatever to that file, and it wouldn't pick those up. So that was a good question. Thank you. So these are the kind of the juicy, meaty parameters that you really need to know about. And that's the expert command is just the name of your executable that network monitor should actually launch. So, I'm noticing that I've used two different conflicting names, so I apologize. But so for this instance, this is the top protocols, and this is my actual expert command line argument. So this is where I specify, you know, in quotes that I want the capture file, and I'm specifying the extra quotes here in case there's spaces in the full path so that it'll actually get interpreted as a single argument to my program. And then, this is going to be however I've configured it. In this case, I'm accepting all four parameters, but if it's just a simple expert, I'm just going to have the open capture file, and I'm just going to be reading all the data in. One thing to note, too, is if the selected frame range is nothing, like so they just opened up Network Monitor and they haven't clicked on anything, it won't actually send you anything. Same with the display filter and the conversation filter. So you kind of have to be aware that there could be blanks here, and the SDK code actually kind of does this work for you if you want to look at that, how we've done that. But it's just something to be aware of. And then we have the actual help file name. So this is going to be just the relative path to where it is in your binary directory to the help file. And this is where Network Monitor is going to pick that up to display in the user interface when the user selects how do I use this expert. And it's also very simple to just, you know, drop a rich text control and load this file up in your expert itself to provide that same help in two places, make it very easy for users to discover. The Wix toolpath is going to be where you've installed the Wix toolkit, and there's more instructions, detailed instructions about that, but you just have to, you know, install it probably manually to this directory, and this is just an example, but you'll want to tell the tool where to find the compiler for Wix. This is the important upgrade code I mentioned, so you'll want to actually not copy this value and create your own GUID and through Visual Studio. There's actually a command line tool we include in the SDK that randomly just spits out a GUID to the command line, which is what actually this next line is, because the MSI creator needs some extra GUIDs that are just kind of per file and not something we're really concerned about, but it needs a GUID generator, so we've included one that's already hooked in if you're building through Visual Studio. But the upgrade code you need to generate yourself, and you want to keep the same for every single version of your expert. You just, you know, for every new expert you create, you can create a new upgrade code. But if it's the same, if it's just, you know, 2.1 of the 2 version of your expert, you'll want to keep that upgrade code the same so that Windows can automatically tie those versions together and you don't have a user which has version 2 and 2.1 installed and, you know, starts to get confused. So this expert platform really opens things up. You're really only limited by your imagination, your domain knowledge, what you want to do with it. And we export a lot of useful parameters to you that you can use to help figure out, narrow in to where the user is actually looking in a trace and to provide some more context to you in order to help users really dive in and get the data analysis needs that they actually want. And the Expert SDK up on CodeFlex really just provides a starting point for understanding how experts work. And like I said, you can just kind of take that as an example and run with it and just really see how you can use all these parameters in combination to really get some rich experiences for the user. So again, these are some resources. So the experts portal is nmexperts.codeplex.com. So that has links to other experts. It also has the links to our Expert SDK. And again, hopefully the C++ examples will be up there soon. The Wix toolkit is up on SourceForge through this link. It's also linked to in the Expert SDK help. And you'll want to be sure to grab the actual executable and not the MSI that they provide there. The MSI is special Visual Studio integration that is not what you actually need. And so you'll, you know, extract that executable, and it will have the binaries, and you just place them somewhere, and that's where you're going to point the MSI creation tool to. And then Perl, the one we've been using on Windows is Strawberry Perl. There's lots of different flavors. Anyone should really kind of work, but that's the link there. So are there any other questions? Great. Well, thank you so much for your time.